Anybody else? All right, I always enjoy the big debut. We're beginning a new series this morning, and it's called Those People. Does anybody know who those people are? Anybody have some of those people in your life? You know what I'm talking about? Those people. And so we're going to begin this series this morning, and I'm going to kind of set this in. I'm really excited about it because I don't know about you, but I face these kind of people in my life. I see these people, and I experience them in my life, and I'm sure you do too. You know, so this week, we're going to kind of look at the needy people. You know, those overly needy people. Next week, we're going to take a few minutes and look at the manipulator. You know, that one who tries to control you. You ever had that one who tries to control you? They try to say the right things and manipulate the situations and try to control you. We're going to kind of talk about those manipulating kind of people and those who manipulate it. And then there's those hypocritical people. Anybody have any of those kind of friends? You know, those people, they say one thing and tell you one thing to your face, and yet behind your back they're, you know, the hypocritical kind of people. Or maybe that critical person. No matter what you do, it is never right. Anybody? Comb your hair, clothes you wear, anybody? Way you talk. You know, how do we deal with those people? I want to talk about the needy ones today, those overly needy ones today. But as I start, I want to make sure I say this. Sometimes we are those people, all right? Sometimes we end up. Now, you know how I am about my driving skills, all right? I am a super wonderful, very skilled driver, all right? There are not those people out there, which probably are many of you, or don't have the skills I have. And it gets very frustrating. You ever go to a stoplight and you're sitting at the stoplight and the light changes green and the idiot in front of you doesn't go? And you're sitting there, those people. He's sitting stuck in his seat or he's doing something, he's daydreaming, picking his nose, I don't know what he's doing. But he's doing something and he sits there, those people. And then the next time you're at the corner over there on Palladel and Sisk Road, and you're sitting there messing with things in your seat, and you look up the lights and you go, oh man, now I'm going above. Those people. Or how about this one? Again, it goes back to driving because that's one of my pet peeves. How about this? I want to those. Here you get angry at the guy with the phone. The law says don't talk on your phone. Would you put the phone down and drive? Those people. And then your phone rings. As we talk about those people, it's easy to talk about those people, but sometimes the reality is, I'm going to say something, we are those people, all right? So let's not take ourselves off the hook as we go through this. You know, sometimes I can be that critical person. I pray hard that I don't end up being a manipulator or hypocritical or, you know, needy, that we all wrestle with these areas. So over the next few weeks, we're going to look, how do we deal with it? Because I want to tell you something. God loves all of us. Even when we are those people. Even those people in our life, that God loves them. He died for them. He cares for them. He wants the best for them. Just as he wants the best for us. How do we deal with that? How do we minister? How do we serve? What do we do in the midst of all that? And so I just want to kind of challenge us here. Because see, if we don't do it right, we can hurt them. We can prolong their healing. We can prolong the situation. We can prolong that behavior. And we can hurt them. Or we can hurt ourselves. You know, we get too involved and it becomes too much about us and we hurt ourselves. You know, you help somebody, you minister to somebody, you serve somebody, and then you finally get tired of it. You know, you've reached out and you've done it and you've done it and you've done it over and over and over again and you're tired of it. You drew the line in the sand. You said, that's it. I'm not doing it no more. And then you start feeling guilty. And so you hurt yourself. So, you know, how can we deal with this? And as I go through this, I want to make sure, you know, there's not one way. You're going to see as I talk about this. What we're going to talk about today is prayer more than anything. Because I don't think there's just one cookie-cutter way to minister. And so we're going to be talking about those needy people. And as we do, I got two words to kind of look at and I want us to kind of think about as we begin this. So let's look at the first word here. If you got your outline, I encourage you to get it out and kind of follow along. Sometimes we need relief. We want to minister with relief, immediate and temporary assistance. There's a flood, and we jump right on, and we go in, and we help, and we serve. There's a tornado that goes through the middle of the United States.
Midwest,
thank you. Goes to the Midwest, and we send money, and we go in and help, and we send people back there. A hurricane goes through. Something happens, and we step in. We immediately step in. We send money. Maybe we take a week off of work. Maybe we, go over there and go up. I remember people going up to Lodi. Not Lodi, Yuba City, and serving and helping rebuild houses after the floods up there. And so we send relief. We get involved with this relief. Somebody loses their job. We take food in. Some family has a health issue, and we run in with, we'll help you take care of your kids, and we'll bring food in if somebody has surgery, and we get involved, and we minister, and it's temporary. We want to bring relief. But I think there's more to minister to those relief than just immediate relief. There's something else to it, and I'm going to use this word restoration. This is not just relief, not just something temporary. Working with people to restore them to their God-given potential. This isn't something that happens in one day, 2 weeks, a little gift, collecting money. Sometimes this is a couple of months. Sometimes it's literally several years. You got somebody who has an addiction, somebody who's hooked on something, and it's not going to happen overnight as they minister and as we serve them. You got that insecure person, that person for some reason just needs to hear that they're special, that they're loved, and that you care for them. And it's over and over again. You talk to them on the phone, and 30 minutes later, they call back. Do you still love them?
No.
Do you still care? Did I upset you? Did I say something wrong? That insecure. Or that person whose money never has enough to make it through the next month. The month ends, and there's like 20 days left. It's like, oh, no. How do we deal? And I want to talk about restoration. I'm going to talk about something more than just stepping in with some resources. I want to talk about, maybe I want to say it this way. A lot of times we do things for people when we need to do things with people. I think there's a difference. That's what I kind of go at this point. I kind of want us to go after this. And as we do, I want to look at a story in the scriptures. Now, how about a time when I call them stories in the Bible? Because I'm like, it's a story. Well, I'm going to tell you something. You read a story in the Bible, they're real, all right? It really happened. It's somebody writing down, this is what happened to me. This is what happened. These are real stories. I call them these events. These are a couple of Jesus' apostles. These were guys who had been with Jesus. They had strolled through the streets with Jesus. They had ministered with Jesus. They had served with Jesus. They had seen Jesus feed the 5,000. They had seen Jesus heal the blind. They had seen Jesus heal the lame. They had experienced all these things with Jesus. And now Jesus was gone. He had ascended into heaven. They had been filled with the Spirit. We're coming into Acts chapter 3. And here's Peter and John, two of his disciples. And they're going up to the temple. I'll make sure you get a picture. The early disciples were Jewish believers. They were good Jewish believers. Which meant, we think going to church one day a week is tough. They were going twice a week, all right? They would go to the temple on Saturday night, the Sabbath. They would go to the temple and they would go to worship. And then Sunday morning, they would get up and go and gather with their Christian brothers and sisters on the Lord's Day, because that's the day Jesus rose from the grave. And so they were worshiping out 2 days a week. They were spending time with God. And on this occasion, they're going to the temple for prayer. So watch the scripture. Kind of look at what's going on and look how Peter and John ministered during this time. Now, Peter and John were going to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple that is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. Okay, get a picture here. They're going to the temple, and at the door of the temple, here's this man who had been lame from birth. He had been lame from birth. He could not walk from the day he was born. Of course, you don't walk when you're first born, right? It takes a little time. And some of his... Yeah, anybody? You raise your kid, you can't wait till they walk, then they start walking. You say, I wish they were walking. It's like, oh, now they're going to get into everything. And so this guy couldn't walk, and his friends were bringing relief to him. Every day, his friends would pick him up and take him to the temple. All right? Every day, they would sit there, as he sat at the temple, and people would bring relief by bringing gifts and giving offerings and ministering to the man that's laying at the temple. When night rolled around, his friends would return to the temple. pick him up and take him home. This went on day after day after day. This was no dumb guy. He went to the temple. There was like three places. Anybody, we ever see somebody in the corner over here at Cisco Palmdale? Or you pull out of the Costco parking lot? There's prime locations. People have fought over those prime locations. You need to know that. Where people fight over the best location. This guy picked the best location. He was no dummy. All right. You could collect them along the highways, very crowded highways at that time. And people would be there, and he would sit along the highway, and they would collect. He didn't put the shoes out. He could have went to the wealthy people's neighborhoods. People used to go to the wealthy people's neighborhoods, and they would be carried there and laid there and be claiming and seeking gifts there. But this guy chose the temple, the prime location for gifts, because the spiritual people are going, who's supposed to be the one to give? Isn't it the spiritual people? They're the ones that are supposed to give. They're the ones that are supposed to give. And then in this time period, they had some really good spiritual people called Pharisees and Sadducees. See, now the Pharisees and Sadducees, they were really spiritual. They wanted you to know it, all right? They wanted you to know they were spiritual. So, they would, hey, look, I'm like, woo, hey, here you go. Then they'd get in the temple and say, hey, man, I gave that guy 5. Well, I gave him 10. I gave more than you did. And they were playing, and this guy had that prime location. He was seeking relief, and people were going by just bringing relief, time after time, day after day. And now here comes Peter and John coming to him. And the man is laying there, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple. He asked to receive alms, and Peter directed his gaze at him. I want you to get a picture. The guy probably wasn't looking up. The guy's probably sitting there looking down, asking for alms. Please, I need your assistance. Please help. Not looking up, not saying everything. Peter stopped, told the guy, look up, look at me. Let me get your attention. Look at who I am. I'm going to speak to you. The guy probably, people didn't even talk to him. But Peter bends down and Peter begins to talk to him. As did John, and said, look at us. And he fixed his attention on them. The guy begins to look at Peter and John, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. I think this is what we need to think about. As we look at those overly needy, what they want and what they need may be two different things. The guy wanted relief, but what did he need? And this is what Peter said, I don't have any financial resources. If you want to know the story, there's another time when they had to pay the temple tax. Peter said, we don't have anything, go get some fish. Or Jesus said, about the fish, get some fish. They went and caught a fish, and guess what was in the fish's mouth? Money. They don't have it. I don't have any money. But what I have, I'm going to give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and his ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk, and he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. The man didn't need relief. He needed restoration. He was seeking relief. Everybody was bringing relief. His friends were ministering and bringing relief. But here comes Peter and John, and it's not relief, it is restoration that they bring. It is ministry and restoration. I think this is really important. As we think about serving and ministering to people, they ministered him. They didn't give him a hand out, they gave him a hand up. I got some really good phrases today.
It's good.
Not for you, but with you. Not a hand up, not a hand out, but a hand up. We need to think about these kind of things. How many of us, we pull into the parking lot at Costco, we're pulling out and there's a guy standing there. Anybody feel guilty about that besides me? Or we're pulling out of the Costco at the other thing, not at the stoplight, there's another one, we'd see a family there with a couple of kids. And that went on for a couple of weeks, and it's like, what do we do? How do we deal with this? How do I approach this? I don't know about you, but I wrestle with these kind of things. And what do we do? And so I kind of want to look at that. Because I don't think there's like, here's what you do. Ben, I'm going to tell you what to do. I don't think I can say that, but I can give you some ideas of what you can do. Some things that we can look at. So if you've got your outline, just kind of keep following along. It's going to be on the next page. And let's kind of see what we have here and what we want to do. Because as we look at this, we need to give help. God help me give people what they truly need not just what they want. This needs to be part of our prayer. All right? God, help me give them what they really need, not what they want. And that's a challenge. And that's not easy because people think this is what I need. But is it really? Is that really what they need? What did Peter and them say? Look at the scripture. What did Peter and them say? I don't have, but Peter said, I have no silver or gold. But what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Do they get confused? What do they need? Do they need money or do they need a job? You know, here's that old saying that as Christians that I wrestle with, do you give them a fish or do you teach them how to fish? How do we respond and what do we need? I don't want to be hard. I do have compassion. I'm one that's, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. I live in America. I believe you can do with me anything you want. I really do. I believe you can do anything you want. If you want to be president of the United States, go for it. I think you could. I think if I ran, there's enough dumb people that might vote for me. I don't know. But how, I don't want to be hard, but how do we deal with this? I need a little money to make my car payment. How am I going to make this car payment? My house payment. How do I deal with this? And how am I supposed to do this? Maybe we don't need that $35,000 car. Maybe I need a $2,000 car. Maybe what I need to do is not so much as give me more resources as I got to learn to manage what I have been given. How many of us, as we talk about money, how many of us talk about budgets? Linda's taught several classes in our church on budgeting. It's true. Because here's something that I don't know about, but this is what I experienced. You know what I do? I spend what I make. When I make little, I spend more. When I make more, I spend more. Anybody in that boat besides me? Whatever I make, I'm going to spend. It's like, okay, now I got this disposable income over here. And Costco's the worst place, man. That's an impulse buying city, man. I like going there, all right? I'm not going to put them down. But how do we deal with this, And how do we make this, And then you got that person, that needy person who just needs somebody to say, I love you. That needs to know that they're appreciated, that you care for them. That you're there with, week in and week out. They just, everything's wrong. Nothing ever goes right in their life. The world's crashing in, Chicken Little. The sky's falling. Trouble everywhere, the victim of society. And it's like, what do we do? What do they need? Do they need these little things over here? What do they need? They need restoration. And see, I want to, we can throw money at situations, and I don't think that solves all the problems. And I don't think just being there with somebody. And one of the things I'm going to talk about as I go through the message, I want to make sure you get a picture of is, sometimes we become what I'm going to call functioning saviors. You need me. You need my answers. You need my skills. You need me. Without me, you would really be in trouble. And we become that needy person because we need them and they need us. And we get balanced. How do we wrestle with this? As I said, I see people on the corners all the time, and I'm not advocating what you need to do. This is something I've prayed about, and I do. I'm at the gas station here in Celaya, and some kid walks up, and I see him around town all the time needing some money, and he just wants a hamburger, and I'll give him a few dollars. But most of the time, I tell people to go to the gospel mission. I give to the gospel mission. Because for me, the gospel mission is more of a restoration than just meeting an immediate need. There's schools and there's training and there's ministry that the government, I've seen it change people's lives. Personally, I've seen it change people's lives. Some of you've seen it change people's lives. And so I send people to that gospel mission and then I make sure I go down there, I volunteer at the gospel mission. Let's go down there once a month, don't we? Anybody here? Anybody been to the gospel mission? Raise your hand, you've been to the gospel mission. Look at that. Yeah, we go down to that gospel mission and we serve at the gospel mission. And that's a way. It's not just throwing money at it. It's not just saying, well, you'll be okay. You know, put our pet in that. Oh, they love me. Be warm, be clothed. I'll see you next week. It takes time, and it takes effort, and it takes work. And that's what makes it so hard. You know, it's easy to bring relief. You know, one Sunday we just give some money, and it's over. Take a week off work and go do this. But then there's hurting people. And they really don't know what they need. They're asking for some things, and it's like, it doesn't work that way. And so, see, what I want to challenge us is to pray. I don't have the total answers. Like I say, somebody will ask. I get those phone calls, you know, and it's 30 minutes later. You know, do you really care? And how do you do this? So you pray. God, help me give them what they need, not what they want. What is it? The challenge is, it might be more than just a day, a week. You might have to invest in somebody's life. I'm excited when I get phone calls and I see people that I minister to, that I serve with, that have life-changing experiences. We go to the gospel mission. I walk to the gospel mission. There's a security guard there, James. Excited to see James. James bought a house here in Salida over here, with his mom did. And I watched James grow up making poor decisions. Mom would call me. I'd go sit and visit and pray with mom because her heart's broken with her son. And she'd be, you know, what's he doing? And she can't live with him. She throws him out. All this stuff going on. And now James has his life clean. And he's straight. He's a security guard at a gospel mission. That's exciting to me to see people. To realize how life's changed. And it didn't happen in 1 week. It didn't happen in 1 month. It didn't happen in a year. It took several years. But somebody had to invest. That's one of the learning experiences for me. I see people in this addictions and these drugs and all this stuff going on in their life. And it's like, well, you go to the rehab. It should just take one time, right? Come on, one time. You go in there, you get well, you come out, you're okay. You know what I've learned over the experience of my life? Sometimes it takes 3 times. Sometimes it takes 4 times. I don't know what it's going to take. But how many of us give up when we did it once, that's it? How do we help these overly needy? We've got to give them what they need, not what they want. So I'm going to challenge us. Make that your prayer. The second prayer I want us to look at is this. God, help me stay out of your way by not continually rescuing people from their consequences. Now this is a challenge. This is really important. And this is a challenge. See, God set up a system. And this world has a system. It's called, you reap what you, anybody? You reap what you
sow.
You reap what you sow. There's consequences to your behavior. It's just the reality of it. There's consequences. God said, now look what the scripture says. He's really plain. Do not be deceived. God is not marked. Whatever one sows, that will he also reap. You know, if you sow stupid seed, you're going to reap stupid harvest. All right? Now, I don't think people are stupid. I'm never stupid, but I should do stupid things sometimes. Anybody been in that boat? See, and a lot of times we short-circuit this. I remember I was reading a bunch of job reviews. You know, yeah, you have a job, they write reviews for how people do. I never forgot this when I was reading one day about dumb job reviews. And this one guy wrote his review of this other guy. He goes, he has done well. He has reached bottom, and he continues to do. Instead of turning around and coming back up, he's digging more. You got to face the comfort. But it's a challenge for us as parents. You've been here, you've got kids. How many times do we bail our kids out? We're going to rescue our kids. I always told my kids, now you need to know with my kids, I always told them, you get arrested, you go to jail, you call me when you get out. All right? Don't ask me to bail you out. You did something stupid. You go to jail. You know what they always told me? Grandpa, come and get me. They would call my dad. Probably my dad would probably went up and got him, all right? But it's like, you're going to reap what you sow. I had the rule. One of my daughters had trouble at school. Somebody was always picking on her. We call it bullying today. And they were always bullying her. And she would say, can I beat him up? And she probably could have. Yeah. Or could one of my friends beat him up? And I would tell her, sure, if that's what you want to do, you're going to get in trouble at school, and when you come home, you're going to get in trouble again. I never did anything to ask my kids. But how many times did you, you didn't finish that project. Let me help you finish that science project. Slap that stuff on, get the board done. I'll bring it to school for you before class starts. Anybody? Man. We rescue our kids? Do we step in? Oh, you're in trouble. I'm going to go down and straighten that teacher out. They can't do that to you. Do we rescue people? Do we step in and try to short-circuit the consequences? How many times have you, maybe one of your neighbor's kids, I'm sure it's not yours, but it's one of your neighbor's kids, my kid wouldn't do that. And you sit there and watch them do it. I remember when I was 18 years old, I was in some miniature theater, and I'd sit there and watch these kids do things, and it's like, the kid's swinging on the things. He's going to pull over and hit him in the head. It's like, you've got to stop, y'all. The kid gets hit in the head. It's like, my kid wouldn't do that. Oh, I didn't push it on him. I might have wanted to, but I didn't. How do we deal? You know, we have this habit of rescuing people. We step in as parents. We step in with our friends. We sometimes short-circuit what God does. There's a great picture of this in the scripture. Again, there's a story that we often call the prodigal son. Anybody familiar with that? It's a story about a guy who has two boys, and one of the boys decides dad's not dead yet. His body's not even cold, he's not even dead, and he wants his inheritance now. He wants his half of the family's income, or whatever he's going to get, he wants it now. So he goes to his dad and says, give it to me. And his dad said, all right, if you want it. So he gives him his inheritance, and the kid goes out and he blows it. Wine, women, and whatever you want to call it, all right? He parties the money away. He parties so much he ends up living in a pigsty, all right? And that's pretty messy, all right, a pigsty. Been a pigsty. He's living in a pig. Now, dad is back at the house with the older brother, and the son's in a pig pen, living there with the pigs. Did dad go get his son? Anybody familiar with the story? Did dad go get him?
No.
Did dad go in and rescue him? No. All of a sudden, that kid hits bottom, and all of a sudden, it clicks in his head. Ding! Oh, you know what? The servants at home are better off than I am in this pig pen. I'm going to go home, and at least my dad can make me a servant. And he went home. Before he even got home, his dad seen him coming down the road. Now, his dad didn't wait to come in. He's got to crawl in and apologize. Come crawling in. Dad, I'm so sorry. And dad didn't do any of that. No games, nothing like that. His dad sees him far off, and his dad runs to him. He throws a party in a celebration as his son returns. You can read the story. It's a great picture of God and his love for us. But he didn't go and rescue his son. It's like, why didn't you come and get me, Dad? You see me in the pig pen. You see what was happening. Why didn't you come and get me? He waited. But once the kid turned, once the child turned, he was there. I think we need to see this. And I think God has his consequences. And sometimes we short-circuit what God is about. Sometimes we get involved too soon, or we don't let God's consequences take its effect. And I see this picture here that sometimes we need, maybe I can say it doesn't make, maybe this sounds hard, we need to let them hang themselves, anybody? And that might sound kind of hard, but sometimes, it's like, okay, I'm here, I'm ready, all you got to do is come. We got to let them, give them enough rope, is that how the old saying goes, give them enough rope to hang themselves? And that's hard. I don't know about you, but as a parent, that's hard. Anybody ever watch your kids go down the wrong path? Your heart just breaks. You're praying. And how do you deal with that? Well, that's why you got to pray. God, help me stay out of your way. And not show up some of those consequences. What you're doing. So see, we got two things to pray. We need to pray. You need to make this a matter of prayer. When you're looking at people and people in your life and those people out there, God, help me see what they need, not what they want. God, Help me stay out of your way so that you can do what you need to do in your lives. Because see, the goal isn't relief. The goal isn't this immediate solve the problem. The goal is a restoration. And that usually takes time. That usually is hard. And that hurts. And I think what's important for us to understand as we're looking at this, it's not just one person that hurts. You know, we live in a world, we think, well, it doesn't bother anybody else. Whatever I do, it doesn't hurt anybody else. You know, there's nothing you do that does not affect someone. You know what I'm saying? There's nothing, it hurts other people, whatever it is. You're not the only one getting hurt. You know, it's just me. Don't worry about me, it's just me. No. Whatever you do hurts, not just you, but those that love you, those that care for you. And that's why it's hard to let those consequences fall. You need to see that. If you're on one side trying to minister, or you're on the other side that needs the ministry, it's just kind of like, it hurts. The last prayer I want us to look at is this. God, help me remember that I'm in need too, and that you are always the answer. We all are in need. All right? I hate to tell you something, I'm a pastor, but I don't have all the answers. All right? I don't know everything. I don't have all the solutions. I can't settle all the problems. I don't have a magical wand. But what I need to understand, what we need to all of us understand, is we have a God that has all the answers. See, too often, I'll tell you what happens. We get to be this functional savior. We get to say, I'm going to step in, and I'm going to make the situation better. I'm going to get involved, and I'm going to change this. And we think we can do that. But we can't. You can't. God is the one that does it. God is the one that intervenes. God is the one that takes part. I want you to look at this passage of Scripture. But as for me, this is David, a man after God's own heart, the Scripture says, a king of Israel. But as for me, I'm a poor and needy. Was David poor? Anybody that knows the king of Israel, he was not a poor man, all right? So I don't know how he's saying he's poor and needy, but you got to step back. There's more in life than money. Anybody agree with that one? I'm poor and needy. Please hurry to my aid, O God. You are my help and my Savior, O Lord. Do not delay. We need to understand that we have needs. That I'm a needy person. That there's things in my life. And I think this is one of the keys to understanding that. I'm one of those people. It's easy to get aggravated with those people. But I'm one of those people. Sometimes I'm overwhelmed. Sometimes I'm struggling. Sometimes I'm in the bed. How do I deal with it? What do I do? And then one of my things as a pastor I see so often, especially when I started in the ministry, it's like the phone rings and I'm going to rush over and save somebody. But the reality is I can't save anybody. It took me a while as a pastor to learn that. It's like the phone rang. I got to go over there. Without me, they can't solve the problem. God is the Savior. It is God's grace. It is God's mercy. It's who God is. You know, if you have to be there, then I'm going to give you a hint. Your God's too small. If they need you, your God's too small. If you have all the answers, your God's too small. See, we need to realize our role and where we play and how we live, and that we are simply sinners saved by grace. We're all in the same boat. And it's not a simple answer, and it's not a simple conclusion, it's not a simple solution. But it's a battle. And that this is something we have to struggle with. And it's hard, and it hurts, and it's not easy. It's not this immediate solution, let's send some money to the tornado victims. in the Midwest. Let's take a week off and go down to the hurricane-struggling area and fix those houses up. Let's take off and do this. Sometimes it takes a year. Sometimes it takes 2 years. Sometimes, you know what it is? Sometimes, here's that addict. Here's that person that's hooked on drugs. Here's that person that's hooked on, that's addicted to something. And you have to step in, and and you minister, and you serve. And you work 6 months with them, and they're making progress, and they're doing well, and things are going along. And then all of a sudden, boom, they come crashing down. They slide back. And you got to come in again. You got to stay beside them. You got to walk with them. Well, you got your one chance. See, it's work. It's effort. It's not easy. See, I'm talking about restoration, not just relief. I think a lot of times we ease our mind with relief when we need to be restored. That's what I'm going to challenge you with this morning. If you look at your paper, I put it this way: restore the need. That's what I want us to do. I want us to restore those people. We have a thing in our church, which stole it from somebody else. It's called EGR. Does anybody remember EGR? Anybody? EGR stands for what? Give me an idea. What? Extra grace required. We all need grace. Some of us need more than others. We need to work to restore. Let's not just think about relief. Maybe you're here this morning. Maybe you're one of those who just, you're in need. You need a warm hug. You need a pat on the back. You need some strength. You need some encouragement. And maybe you're here this morning and you got some needy people in your life and you need strength. And you need wisdom. See, I want to challenge us to be a restorer. We're not the one who restores, God is. That we can be a channel of grace. We can be a channel of blessing. Don't just think just a day or two, it's a week here and there. You know what's interesting as we think about this? I've seen the stories. Laura and I have traveled across the United States going back to see our son and stuff. We stop at places and I look at these little towns. And I remember when I went to Oklahoma City one time, the Paul town where my dad was raised. We're walking around the streets and looking at them, we talk about when he climbed the tower and painted the water tower. He's telling me all the stories of growing up in this little town back in the 50s. And we're just kind of sharing the stories. And it's like, you know, we thought about moving back here back in the 60s. My mom and dad moved. I remember going back to the home and looking at this place. And I'm looking at this town going, I'm glad we didn't move back here. This is going nowhere, man. You know, the technology story is Radio Shack. Give me a break. I mean, come on. Yeah. And you get back in some of these small towns back there, and you're looking around. We go to Plains, Georgia. We're driving through Plains, Georgia, peanuts, and they have all these peanut places and all this. And the town, you know, they roll the street up at 6 o'clock at night, and literally. I remember my aunt talking about when they put the stoplight in town. The town's got 2 stoplights now. How can they live like that? But then you realize how happy they are. How excited they are about their lives and what's going on and their homes. And you're sitting there going, oh. But then you stay there a little while and it's like, you know what, this ain't bad. This is pretty nice. See, we see things like this and it's kind of like, you know, what is the need? Oh, they need, man, they need an Apple store. You know, they need a Microsoft store. They need, you know, they need Wi-Fi, internet, you know, they need, you know, and how can you suffer without that stuff? And yet they're so, and then you get back and you're like, this is a good life back here. You know, they're not as backwards as you thought they were. And you see that. See, we need to understand we're all in this. And they come out to California, and they go, you guys are crazy. You guys have demons out here. See, we need to see this in our life. We all need a restoration. We all need God's grace. We all need God's mercy. We all need God's forgiveness. So I want to challenge us. Will you be a restorer? Will you be a champion? that God can use to restore. As you look at those people around you, maybe it's a family member, maybe immediate family, maybe it's extended family, maybe it's a friend, maybe it's a co-worker that, you know, you've had enough to hear with, maybe enough to hear with, and you're fed up with them, and you're tired of their games, and you're tired of their stuff, and you're just tired of all the junk, and you're fed up with them. Can you be restored? Maybe you're the one that's just hurt. Life has just stomped you to the ground. The economy's crashed. Homes are being lost. Jobs, no insurance. How do you make ends meet? How? Cars are breaking. What do you do? I just want to challenge us. Whichever it's. That's what's exciting about this church for me. You know, I want to close with this one. I say it week in and week out. Some of you have heard it many times. You're going to hear it over and over again. You keep hanging around. Because you need these three things in your life. I don't care what you do. I don't care how you want to live. I don't care what you think about life. You need a church in your life. You need a body of believers who's there that you can gather with week in and week out. That can have that warm embrace, that firm handshake, that pat on the back. You need that small group Bible study, that time you can get down into God's Word in just a few and you can be open, and you can have that fellowship, and you can talk about those hard days, because you can't talk about it in here, and you don't want everybody to know. But you wouldn't mind having four or five friends that you study God's with knowing. And you need that small group, just that intimate group of friends that you're journeying through life with. And then you need that person that can walk you, that can look you in the eye and say, you're being stupid, you're selling stupid seeds. Or can patch up the back and say, man, you're doing good. Keep it up. Yeah, you slipped. And yeah, you fall. And yeah, things aren't quite where you want to be. But you know what? I'm not going to leave you. I'm going to be with you. We're going to get through this. We're going to patch up the back. We're going to walk with you through this turmoil. Through those storms. See, I'm going to close with that. We need those things. We need one another. Will you pray? Will you pray, God, help me give people what they need, not what they want. God, help me not shortcut the consequences that you put into their lives. And God, above all, help me remember I'm in need too. Can you pray those things for those people? Let's bow before the Lord. Lord, I thank you for your words and your truth. I thank you for your scriptures. The examples you set with Peter, the people like Peter and John. For the example you set with that father who loved his son enough to let him go and received him with welcoming arms when he returned. Lord, help us be a people of God today. You know, as we're praying, all our heads are bowed and all our eyes are closed. I want to pray for some of you this morning. Maybe you're here this morning and life has just crushed you. You're in need. You're just need. Would you raise your arms so I can pray for you? That life has just beat you up, and you're just overly needed right now. Thank you. I see your hands. Maybe you're here this morning, and maybe you've got some friends that are overly needy, and you're wrestling with how to help, and how to serve, and how to minister. And I want to pray for you. Would you raise your hand? Just throw your arm up. This is just between us. Nobody else is looking. Nobody's around. Lord, I just thank you for these who've lifted their arms. Lord, there's some here this morning who need a warm embrace. I just ask you in some way comfort their hearts. Send someone across their path, not just for relief, but for restoration. Someone to encourage, someone to inspire. Someone just to let them know that they're not forgotten and that you love them. Lord, for others, that you've placed in their life people who have needs, people who are battling. Lord, give them wisdom. Give them strength. Let them understand what they need to do, not just what the wants are. Lord, I ask you to just bless each and every one that is here. Wherever we're at in our lives, whether we raise our arms or not, we are your people. Comfort hearts. Speak to lives. Encourage us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, as I close, I want to make sure that